Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ali. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Both the Ravens, nevermore.
We're gonna need a bigger boat because Cody Rhodes might be turning heel. He doesn't need boats where he's going. He needs like an evil car, a bad car potentially. I'm Ollie Davis. Ollie Kawaii, and I'm joined by my best friend Luke Warm, Luke Owen, and we are here to review last night's brilliant episode. We're also very tired. AEW pay-per-view Double or Nothing, where we will talk about numerous fantastic matches, some match of the year contenders. We're going to cover the sort of bad bits as well. I think Cody's stuff was objectively people down upon. Only we were down really on the Stadium Stampede close, but we'll come on to that. But one massive positive takeaway is fans are back. Dear God. Yeah.
So amazing to see fans back in the arena. Like the first shot that they had of like when the pay-per-view opened and they're just sort of like panning around Daily Space. I was saying this on the live stream last night that I didn't really sort of fully understand what full capacity meant, because we've seen fans at Daily's Place for AEW pay-per-views and for Dynamite where they've sort of been like potted around, and I was like, well, maybe it'll look like that, but there'll be a few more of them there. No, this is what full capacity meant, which is just there's fans everywhere. Like there's just fans left, right and center. There's no social distancing around any of them. Gonna hope that everyone was keeping themselves safe and that, but it was like full capacity, and it was just incredible to see. Like that reaction for Hangman coming out was just one of those times, and you said it in your review so many times during the show, I was like, God, I wish I was there.
Yeah, I've gone from being quite cautious and being like, I probably won't go to a wrestling show this year. If I do, it'll be, you know, November, but later on in the year when a lot more people are vaccinated, me being one of those people, not vaccinated yet, but it's gone from that to no, I'm pretty sure I'm going to go. I'm pretty sure I'm going to go the first available opportunity we get. So with all of that positivity, let's start with a negative.
I would say that the crowd being there, and this was Brandi Rhodes's point about all this, because Cody Rhodes and Anthony Ogogo's feud, I think, has been, I would say, quite rightly derived online, because I think a lot of people are just like, this is very, very silly and quite tone deaf. And, you know, and we have made the very, very funny joke on this show. Cody solved racism. Just like you solved sexism on last night's live stream, Cody solved racism.
I was a busy boy. yeah, so the Cody versus Ogogo feud. Now, I love, like when I joke about Cody and say I love him, that's actually sincere. I do really, really like him. I'm a huge fan of his. He is my brother. And I was one of the few people who really enjoyed that promo, Me and the people who were in the workshop with him that focus grouped it. We were the only people, it seems, who enjoyed the promo. But then, like, so I feel like I'm in quite a good place to come at this. Mm-hmm. Because I'm one of the people who should like this. I'm one of the people who has been defending Cody. When Cody beat QT Marshall, and everyone was like, this is rubbish. He's burying everyone. Cody's just putting himself over again. I'm like, hold on, everybody. This is the start of the Nightmare Factory versus Nightmare Family feud. It's obviously building to Cody putting over a young star. And I thought that was going to be a go-go. Then he sort of adds in the America versus UK thing, which really wasn't a part of the storyline. I was much more into the sort of betrayal of a training group within a larger family. That far more interesting. But, you know, Memorial Day weekend, he switched it up. And then, yeah, Rhodes just won here. But he didn't only win. He won a 10-minute match where he repeatedly was fine after getting the gut punches from a go-go, something that they've done quite a good job as getting over as a devastating match-ending move. And then he outboxed him at one point. I think it was a mistake for Cody to go over here.
I totally saw it coming, though. I was saying this on the prediction show that we had. This whole feud has been built around America versus not America. It's on Memorial Day weekend. He is coming out as the American Dream. He has taken on his dad's role. He's coming out in red, white, and blue, taking on the evil foreign heel. Of course he's going to win. Or everyone's like, they're doing such a good job of building up a go-go. Like, they're doing so much to protect a go-go. And I was like, yeah, so Cody can beat him. So the American hero can conquer all. That's what this has all been about. It was never about getting a go-go over. It was about celebrating America on Memorial Day weekend. And do you know what? It doesn't work for me. I'm not an American, so it doesn't work for me. And I would comfortably say, it didn't work for our live reactions we did last night either. The chat were really against all of it. The four of us didn't particularly enjoy it. All the chats that we got, the Omega chats we got in, didn't particularly enjoy it either. But the live crowd lapped it up. The second Cody came out, it was USA chant. It was USA chant throughout. When Cody beat the foreign heel, when Cody kicked out of the gut punch, the people lapped it up. And that's what I was saying earlier. That was Brandi Rhodes' whole tweet. The internet has now had its time. Live crowds are back, and live crowds will tell you what they actually enjoy. Not you internet smarks on your dirt sheet forums, like she's like that sort of caper. So it completely worked for the live crowd. For me, though, this was a massive misstep.
I think the idea that it worked for the live crowd. I think everything worked for this crowd. This was a fantastic crowd who, key, weren't in it for themselves. They were in it to create a really fun wrestling show. This wasn't, we are awesome. It wasn't that. It was, they are going to boo the heels. They are going to cheer the baby faces, no matter what grievances they have with the booking or storylines. So well done, crowd. You're awesome. I wouldn't take this, but maybe I'm wrong, but I personally would not take this isolated data point as a signifier that you've done a good story. And again, I am very, very much a Rhodes fan, Brandi and Cody. I made that very clear. But a lot of, you know, the tide has turned. My friends who are into wrestling have been like quite annoyed with Cody over the last months. I'm like, what are you talking about? You just wait till he puts over a go-go. Put me in an awkward position there. But, you know, loads of other people online, these online fans that Brandi is criticizing there. It seems very tone-deaf to me for a promotion that is very, that listens to their audience so much, to have a baby face sort of address the online reaction in this way. When I saw Brandi's tweet, I get like why you would tweet it, because I imagine it's very frustrating to have people not be into the stories you want to tell. But it came across to me as a bit WWE.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. Like that whole like online fan thing, it's like, yeah, do you know what? every single fan who watches wrestling is online. We're an online world. Mm. Like the IWC is not really like that's just what wrestling fandom is now. But there's still like the wrestling promoter reaction to that is just like, well, the IWC is very different to the wrestling fan. They're still in that kind of mindset when I think they are pretty much one and the same at this point. I totally get what Brandy was saying, though. I totally get into it. And like you, I am a fan of the Rhodes. I love Cody Rhodes, and I love Brandy Rhodes, and I love everything they've done. And I really love the fact that they've given us AEW, a part of the reason we've got AEW, and I love them for that. And I have seen the backlash to Cody over the last few months. I think it's sort of like pretty much since he lost the belt to Darby, I think that people, we've seen it on our shows that we do here. People are like, yeah, I'm not into Cody. I'm over Cody Rhodes at this point now. And I think you and I have been the ones to wave the flag, wave the flag for Cody Rhodes. And to be like, no, he's still cool. He's still great. He's still our boy. He's still our brother. And last night, it was just in the lead up to this. I was like, this is not what people think this is. This is very much the, and this was a babyface show. It was a babyface winning show. And this was a moment for the babyface representing the country to win in the country he was representing against the man who does not like the country he's representing.
Okay, so is this intentional? I think we now have to dive into. Is this actually a way for Cody to turn heel?
No, I don't think it is. No, I know we got on our thumbnail because like everyone was saying, yeah, Cody looks like Homelander. I don't think it was intentional that Cody looked like Homelander.
No, that was intentional cosplay.
It cannot be, Davis. It cannot be, because no one in their right mind would look at Homelander as a character and be like, well, that's the person that we need to have representing as this character.
Unless you're turning heel.
I don't think he's turning heel. I think that he wore it out. The problem is because Homelander is there, Homelander is now like the great point of just like, it's a parody of American pride and American nationalism and things like that. So anytime you wear red, white, and blue like that, it does look like a Homelander sort of reference and cultural touchpoint. But maybe I'm off the mark here, but I'm just looking at it and I cannot understand how anyone would look at Homelander, whether in the comics or on the show The Boys, and be like, well, there's the good guy of this story, murdering people on planes and masturbating into all sorts of things. He's the hero here. I think I might go do a rape as well, like a true hero would.
Because he's a heel.
He's not a heel, though. He's the baby face, dude.
Okay, let me fantasy book here. I think Cody is going to write himself off TV soon. Brandy's having a baby, blah, blah, blah. However, let me fantasy book this scenario for you. Cody has been the American nightmare forever, but a sort of baby face version of that. So now he brought back the American dream, his father's nickname, for this pay-per-view. There wasn't actually much to do with that on the show. He didn't even update the Tron, but nice touch. You aligned that with Homelander, who is a character who is very much a projection of an idealized American superiority image, but inside is very insecure and crumbling and a very nasty, anxious person. What an amazing direction that could be to take Cody's character in. If he's seen people start to sour on him, I bet he likes being a heel more. So he then becomes that delusional babyface. He is the American dream, right? But a heel version. And that is how he starts to go for the title again.
I love that. I love that as a potential idea. And I think it is next level thinking. I just think that this was Memorial Day weekend and the American dressed as an American and he beat the evil foreign heel for America as the American dream. And next week, he's just back to being Cody Rhodes again. And none of this actually is building to anything. And it was just, he wore a very patriotic costume with his big patriotic thing so we could get the big baby face pop with our first live crowd here.
You make a compelling argument, America.
Hold up.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's see what you guys think. Get in your hyper chats to wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them before the end of the show. Phantom FTW says 5 out of 5 show. The great far outweighed the bad. And talking of Cody, at this point, this must be a work. It's too on the nose not to be. Cody dressing like Homelander, the promo for service dogs for veterans. It's a work, right? Right. So before the match, they had a very nicely done video package for service dogs for Vietnam vets, and they had some veterans come out on the stage as well. I don't think that bit was a work.
No,
that would be very ill-advised.
America's a proud country, and that's fine. Like, they're a very, very proud country and a very, very proud people, and they were just celebrating America on Memorial Day weekend. There's no work here.
RP Degnan, as I said on the prediction show, I think this is a slow burn heel turn to eventually give the American Dream moniker to someone who fits it better with the Brandy comments and the focus group. Come on, man. Now, I didn't even think of the focus group as a heel thing.
They believe it. This is them believing this.
You are I don't think it's a worky mark.
I would love it if I'm being worked. I will be so over the moon if I'm being worked, but I don't. I think this is 100% a shoot. I think Brandy is 100% a shoot. I think the focus group is 100% a shoot. And I think they are genuinely annoyed that people didn't like the promo.
But maybe that's just faith in AEW. RP Degnan finishes there. Ronan C, is Cody almost verging on Jeff Jarrett TNA territory, just without the title? And is there a worry that they might have retributioned the factory ahead already by Cody defeating the entire chaotic group clean in a couple of months?
The second part of that, I completely agree with. It should not be an Anthony Ogogo at this point. But you can't say that he's Jeff Jarrett, because Jarrett was like on top the entire time, the main event, when he did not need to be the main event. Cody is the mid card. So I don't think it's fair to call him the Jarretts.
So Triple H was trending during the pay-per-view, and we saw that it was actually because so many people were comparing Cody to Triple H's burial phase of his career, where he would just sort of beat everyone. That wasn't the only reason it was trending. It's because people were like, huh, They made Sting look great. They didn't Triple H him. So it was those two things came together. Blind Raw, Cody turning heel. What are you talking about? Focus group said no. I'd rather talk about anything else from this show because that's how good it was. But let's address it. Cody needs to work with baby faces now. One's more over than him, like Adam Page.
Adam Page would be a really interesting feud for Cody to go on to next.
Yeah, the American dream, the American cowboy.
He's not the American dream anymore.
Tiramula. Sorry, I butchered your name. Cody badly needs to turn heel. Delusional Cody as the savior of AEW has great potential. What do you think of my idea for Cody to form a trio with Sky and Paige and be the first ever trios champions? New heel group at the top, and you could replace Team Taz.
Cody's got enough mates as it is. Like, he's actually surrounded by friends. So I don't think you need to add him to a different stable. But I'm going to echo what I said earlier. If this is all a work to make him the delusional babyface, I love that. Love that. And I will give it the biggest round of applause that it absolutely deserves. And I have been 100% worked, hooked, line, and sinker. And I love that.
I was just getting away with fantasy booking until who was it? Was it RP Degnan? RP Degnan said focus groups.
The focus group.
And now I'm like, there is no way Cody said that, not knowing how bad that sounded. Because I thought that sounded off when he said it in an interview. I'm excited. Okay, let's talk about the pay-per-view as a whole. Keep on getting your hyper chats in to wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them before the end of the show. The buy-in, which is AEW's kickoff style hour, had Rio versus Serena Deeb for the NWA Women's title. Deeb won in probably the best buy-in match they've ever done. What a terrific bout this was.
Yeah, absolutely loved this match. So because they had a banging match on Dynamite a few weeks back in the Women's Eliminator tournament. Yeah. So this was like, you know, the second part of that. And I thought it was a really, really, really great match. Riho is an amazing babyface in peril. And Serena Deeb is this more vicious heel side, like the crafty veteran working over the body part, the targeting of the knee. It was Dax Harwood said that she's working like Bret Hart Bret Hart would work now if Bret Hart was still working today. And yeah, it's just amazing stuff. I think she's great. And I really enjoyed this match.
I think that we theorized there were a few like missed bits. We reckon it's because it was partly outdoors. The sun was coming in really harshly, cutting across the ring. So you could kind of see him squinting sometimes. Pretty tricky position to be in for there. But yeah, I love this match. I love Deeb. I love Rio. Like, man, she's good. Get them all in the mix. Like, you've got such a good women's division there with all over stars. The main card, which this felt like, although the crowd was already hot, they then went up to 11 for the whole show, really. Started with Hangman Page versus Brian Cage. Brian Cage came out first in his sort of Terminator cyborg outfit that Luke loves.
Oh, and then, so dumb.
And Hangman Page comes out monster pop, rightfully so. And they just had a non-stop back and forth power move meat fest. Terrific match.
But this went on like 10 minutes or something like that. And it was just wall-to-wall action and so much fun. Like proper like back and forth stuff. Brian Cage doing amazing power spots. Like Hangman Page just being like that ultimate baby face that the crowd wanted to see win. So it was the perfect match to put on first for this show as well. First for the, you know, the actual show itself. And then at the end of this, Team Taz, who Brian Cage had said on Dynamite he does not want at ringside, tried to get involved, and Ricky Starks threw him the FTW title. Brian Cage wouldn't use it, and that caused enough of a distraction to allow Hangman Page to hit the buckshot for the win. So yeah, Team Taz essentially cost Brian the match, and Brian effectively like seemingly left the group afterwards. It's you can't do it really now because Ricky's injured, but I'd have really liked to have seen like Hangman and Cage versus Team Taz as like for a tag match on Dynamite. Would have been really nice.
I think they could still go that route. You've got Hobbs there. Hook, I guess it's only Hobbs and Starks would be brilliant.
The idea
for that feud. Starks he's only meant to be out 6 weeks though, or something. Hopefully,
I thought
he's coming. Was he out longer? I think he had a really bad neck injury. Yeah, yeah. Well, it was very good. I've seen some people think that the whole show was a bit overbooked because pretty much every match had some level of interference in. And I get that. I think I would prefer most of that to take place on TV, and your actual pay-per-view matches are straighter and you're more sparing with the angles. But it was a special show. It was like one of those just crazy shows with the crowd, and you could do anything. And it would be awesome.
Yeah.
Apart from bring out Hulk Hogan, as we found at WrestleMania.
I mean, do you remember when you reviewed All In and you said, like, All In was just a celebration of wrestling fandom, and it was just like a celebration of indie wrestling. Mm-hmm. This almost was kind of like that, actually. It was a show that was here to celebrate fans being back, which is why we got so many babyface wins throughout the night. And just to, like, always send the crowd home happy.
Yeah. After that, we got a heel retention, but it was still so much fun because it was the Young Bucks taking on Eddie Kingston and John Moxley. And I've gone back and rewatched this twice today. You know, rather than sleep, I have rewatched Eddie Kingston come out, because this is a guy who came in on a chance, came in for that open challenge against Cody, cut a hell of a promo. He was given the brass ring and he gripped onto it and he yanked it down and then punched someone in the face with it. And he was not supposed to be there. He was not supposed to be in AEW, but he got over to the extent where he was main eventing pay-per-views for the world title, had one of the most emotional storylines of the year with John Moxley. And he's carried through. But he's never had that crowd there. I know that Sheeta's never had the crowd to cheer for her women's championship, but Kingston has not had the sort of audible reaction in an arena either. And seeing him come out there, I was so proud and happy, and just a lot of positive emotions mixed into together.
Yeah, a guy who has worked so hard to get to this point. And like, yeah, his AEW journey has been an incredible thing to kind of like watch and live along with him, like as a fan. And for this moment of them coming out, Moxley, dude, was so fired up for this entrance, just through a chair that he saw, because he was just like, he's just so like, whoa, I don't know what to do with all of this energy I have, a chair. And he just throws this chair. And like Denise said that she put out that I was like, Moxie just stormed past, like, because where they were sat, it's like Moxie just stormed past her, and Eddie Kingston was just like just slowly walking, chilling behind him, just like just soaking it all in. And then he worked as an amazing babyface in peril in this match, but also as the babyface waiting for the hot tag to get in. The Young Bucks were, oh, chef's kissed perfect heels for all of this, acting like the biggest douchebags possible, including Nick getting the worst hair dye job. That's a work. Like, we may disagree on the Cody thing, but Nick Jackson's hair was 100% a work, and it was so good. And like, they just acted like total dickheads for this entire match. And it made me as a fan be like, God, I want to see Mox and Kingsley kill these two goofballs. I absolutely loved it.
A lot of interference again. You got Brandon Cutler used the cold spray. They took him out. Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson tried to get involved, but Kingston was just like, nope, and took out Doc. And Kaz chased off Carl Anderson because he's got that storyline going on. Nice little spot there. Again, overbooked. I didn't mind it. I thought it was really fun. But just like, yeah, Moxley is getting worked over a lot near the end. And he just, they do the Shield fist bump. You know, they're going to do the Shield power bomb. The Bucks are, with the ooh, ah, and everything. But Moxley just makes the tag just in time. Kingston no sells a bunch of strikes. He's like, bitch, please. You know, when they were going for him. And then at the end, you know, a paradigm shift from Moxley on Nick, and Matt just saved it.
Oh,
that was such a close near fall.
Such a good last minute save.
And one of my favorite things, super kick party, Mox kicks out at one.
Oh, yes. Love that.
So they get multiple BTE triggers, just boom, 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 about four or five in total, which I think would be a nice, I know it's not an explosion, but it's, I think that is an angle significant enough to write Mox off TV now. Mm-hmm. If that's the plan.
Yeah, and I think it kind of like puts a nice little bow on the storyline between Moxley and the Super Elite for the time being, so maybe he can take some time off. I'll be curious to see, because, you know, we all thought he was going to take the time off after February, and I'm starting to think it was never the plan for him to take the time off after February. So who knows? Maybe this will be the time when he is going to go away for a bit. But like, Jericho's going to be going away for a bit. We can presume that some other people might be going away for a bit, because they're also expect, like, who knows where we're heading now.
But a fantastic match. I would have said match of the night, really. But the triple threat was...
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Incredible. Yeah. But a very, very good start. Different as well. You know, you had the buy-in. You got the Page-Cage blood feuding match. You've got this title match with a lot of blood feud stuff as well. And then after that, you get the Casino Battle Royale. A completely different kind of match. Christian's out at number one, which is beautiful because, you know, Edge was out at number one. Christian was kind of the favorite here. Big Show's on commentary. And you just got wave and wave of people. The standout were Pentagon in full-on Joker gear. Matt Hardy and Private Party were a sort of force that worked all the way through till near the end. Which means we got that Matt Hardy Christian standoff, which was really cool. Jungle Boy came in, and Leo Rush was the Joker.
Yeah, a name that I don't think anyone had down. Like, a lot of people, a lot of theories about who the Joker would be. I saw a lot of people suggest it was going to be Paul White. You know, we had Nick Gage down as a possibility, Andrade as a possibility to build that Triple Mania feud that they've got going on with Kenny Omega. Leo Rush was a name I don't think anyone said. So I think that was a really, really fun sort of surprise, actually. And it was weird that he came down, just did a handful of spots, and then got eliminated. It wasn't like he's not the star they were trying to make in this match. The star they were trying to make was Jungle Boy. So I suppose, like, you don't want to give him too much because you don't want to take any of the shine away from Jungle Boy. But then you're in that, you booked yourself into the corner then of just like, well, it needs to be a surprise that we can give the big spots to, but also we can't take the shine away from this lad over here.
Dave Meltzer reported on Wrestling Observer today that Leo Rush has actually signed with New Japan. That's where his deal is, yeah. Also, I just remember because Christian had a bit of interaction with Powerhouse Hobbs here. Christian eliminated Hobbs, I believe. They had a little feud thing going on, which does mean Paige, Cage, and Cage are all feuding with Team Taz.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Paige, Cage, and Cage. Cage, Paige, and Cage. It sounds like a law firm.
Yes. Make it happen. Anyway, it comes down to like that Christian and Jungle Boy, they get rid of Matt Hardy with some really fun heel begging off stuff there. And we're all like, huh, where does AEW go here? Because Christian versus Omega is a match the company obviously and rightfully, I would say, wants to do. But you've also got Jungle Boy and people want to sing the entrance theme again. And the crowd were 100% on Jungle Boy's side here, to the extent where they were booing Christian near win spots. Thankfully, in the end, after a really dramatic final sequence, really close from Jungle Boy on an elimination spot, Jungle Boy won.
Yeah, this elimination spot that Ollie was talking about there, it was like, so they're on the apron doing lots of stuff, like they tease the unprettier on the apron, and Christian like pushes Jungle Boy. So Jungle Boy is like facing away from him. Christian pushes him, so he's essentially running towards the ring post, and he grabs the ring post and like swings himself round. He could have easily have slipped and completely balls this up, but he was just like swung round, landed there, and that's how he got eliminated. Christian, who was just like, whoa, what the hell happened there? And then the crowd got to sing the great Tarzan Boy theme song. Like Luchasaurus and Marco Stunt came down to like celebrate with him. Marco Stunt was in tears, celebrate for Jungle Boy. And then Christian Cage was just the awesome veteran, just like grabs him by the hands, like, now you go do this. You've got to go do this and you go win that title. It was a really awesome moment for Christian there. And we're getting that match in 2 weeks' time, which is a perfect TV main event.
Yeah. Yeah, really, really good. Omega versus Jungle Boy. It's only gonna raise Jungle Boy's stock. Like, they are doing a fantastic, measured job with Jungle Boy. Very, very well done.
Just want to give a quick shout out. SP3's in the chat. Hello, SP3.
After that, unfortunately, we did go into the opposite of that, which was where Rhodes beat Agogo. Which, you know, I've seen the argument be, but hey, you don't have Agogo win because he wasn't that good. Like, a lot of people said he was quite green, came across as such. The selling was bad. I didn't get that. My argument to that would be, don't book a 10-minute match then.
That's what I get. Yeah, don't book that match then. Don't put him in that position. If that just sets him up to fail. Yeah, but like, it's Rhodes winning was the babyface win on Memorial. It makes sense on paper. It doesn't work for me, but it makes sense on paper.
It makes sense with that heel turn,
and it works for worked for the live crowd.
After that, we got the TNT title match with Miro and Lance Archer. No, I feel like this match was lacking a story to bite into. Like, it had bits there. It had a few promos and whatnot, but it didn't have, there was no meat. There was a lot of meat, but it wasn't storyline meat. So, but they went out there. They had the best possible match they could have had. Just fast power spots. More interference. Again, didn't mind it because we got to see Miro chuck a snake up a ramp.
Yeah, this was so good. I really enjoyed this match. It was just two beefy dudes beating the beef out of each other. You know, like they put Miro through a table like quite early on. So Pete was there going like, oh, I think that'll be a DQ action. I'm like, you know what? I don't mind in this sort of scenario because it's two meaty lads just meeting each other around. And it was a really cool finish of Miro getting the game over and like the grapevine game over. And Lance Archer passing out. The stuff with Jake Roberts, I thought was really fun. They did a really great angle with that on the during the fan fest that they showed a recap of. I very much enjoyed it.
Yeah, just in case people haven't seen the match or what we're talking about, Jake the Snake comes in with the bag, implied that there's a snake in there. Don't worry, it's a working snake. It's not a shoot snake, probably. And he's going to use it on Miro, but Miro sort of takes out Jake and chucks the bag up the ramp.
Yeah,
very fun stuff. And yeah, Miro retains. Also, they did point out on commentary that Lance had spinal surgery or something, or a back injury of some sort. And that really added a nice layer to protect Lance in defeat, I thought. You know, on another day, if he didn't have his back targeted, could have won. But very fun. All Out is going to be in Chicago on September 5th.
Yeah, another Sunday.
I was about 3 vodka tonics deep at this point, and I legit was thinking, I might book it. I might just book it.
Maybe we should go. I've never been to Chicago, so maybe we should just go there.
After that, we got Britt Baker versus Shida, which went a nice 15 minutes. It was very good, and the result was really big. You know, Britt Baker won. That was awesome. I really like that, as did the crowd. The match never really... It never got to that level of other Shida matches or really good Baker matches. But it was still good.
Yeah, it was good. It wasn't like, you know, the Baker Rosa matches that we've had as of late, or Shida Nyla Rose from last year. Like, it didn't quite have that same intensity, but it had some really nice character moments in there. And like, Baker came off as like such a star in all of this. Like Baker felt like a true figurehead of this division, so that was really good to see. It's just I think the storyline, the reason why I don't think this match massively worked is because they've not done enough for Shida on TV. All of the booking, we've had this complaint from people in our Omega chats and on our live shows, being like, all of the booking has been around Baker and none of it's been around Shida. And I think, unfortunately, those roosters came home to roost, as I should have said, for this pay-per-view, because the crowd were so into Baker, but by proxy, they were then also into like Shida. Like we were saying on the show, like it was loud DMD chants, but people were also cheering for Shida. But I think it was almost just like, as you said, politeness from the crowd to be like, well, it's our job here to also cheer for the babyface. So we are going to, but we're actually, we just want to see Baker win.
Baker's great. I think everyone loves Sheeta, but unfortunately, it's a very long transitional reign. I think this title reign will go down as, hopefully Sheeta will get another chance to have a proper reign with proper feuds, you know? Yeah. And hopefully Baker will as well. The momentum seems to be going that way. Baker afterwards hugs Tony Schiavone, excuses himself from commentary, goes down to the ramp and hugs Britt Baker. It was a beautiful moment. And I'm sure some people are like, oh, it breaks kayfabe. You criticized Belair and Banks for doing that tearful nod to each other before the Mania main event. I think it works because I've been told as a viewer that Tony and Baker are good friends.
Yeah.
So I think it makes total sense in kayfabe.
If anything, in kayfabe, it makes the most sense for him to get up and go and hug her because that's what they've been presenting on TV. So yeah, I enjoyed this match is what I would say. I didn't love this match, but I very much enjoyed it. It wasn't a bad match by any stretch of the imagination. I've just seen someone in the comments there saying it was really sloppy. Could not disagree.
Oh, no.
I disagree heavily with that, but it was a really well-worked match. It's just, I don't think it had the right story going into it. What it needed was more loving America and Sheeta being a foreign heel to really, really get it over.
It writes itself. Darby Allin and Sting took on Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky next. And dear God, I was blown away by this match because I just did not have expectations. I didn't know what to expect. And they overcame everything.
I can tell you exactly what my expectations were. My expectations were T-shirt Sting. That's exactly what. And like the beautiful bastards that they are, they worked me. Because Sting started wrestling this in a T-shirt. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's what I expected. T-shirt Sting. I watched a lot of TNA. I saw a lot of Sting doing, you know, Sting would have 10-minute matches to main event pay-per-views, and he would wrestle in a T-shirt, and 9 minutes of that 10 minutes would just be crowd brawling, where it's just like, we're just going to punch each other through the crowd, go into the ring, Scorpion Death Drop, Scorpion Deathlock, get the win or a lose. So that's fully what I was expecting here. What I got was an excellent match where Sting at one point just took his T-shirt off and he was in the full Sting gear and he did this dive off the stage and he was working with Sky and he was working with Paige. He was building to hot tags. He was getting hot tags. It was magical. So, so magical. And the finish to this match was absolutely awesome.
So it was Scorpio Sky doing the sort of slingshot cutter into the ring. And Sting just caught him in a Scorpion Death Drop. I mean, Sting and Sky have mad chemistry, is what this match told me. Because at the start of the match, when Sting gets in, before he takes off the T-shirt, before you know what he's going to do, like, oh, it's just going to be a few fisticuffs, tag back in Darby. No, they brawl outside onto the ramp, and Sky gives Sting a German suplex on the ramp. And you're like,
oh,
what? He's 62 years old. And Scorpio Sky is like standing there on the chips being like, yeah, look at me. I'm bad. And then Sting just stands up and does the classic Sting no sell, stands behind him. It's going to be a meme. Oh, really, really good. And you know what? I thought Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky thrived off this live crowd.
Yes.
Because they haven't been given anything in Dynamite, really. It's just that they run in. They're a bit cowardly. But man, Ethan Page in particular, like he can just work a crowd really well, like in the palm of his hand. So
it was
very, very good. Love
and
this.
Sting did a code red somewhere in the world. Amazing Red was marking out because Sting did this code red and it was like Dustin doing the Canadian Destroyer. Like it's not the best Canadian Destroyer I've ever seen. This wasn't the best code red I've ever seen, but I marked out like regardless. And this was the match where I wish I was there for the triple threat. I wish I was there for this. And I was so pleased that Sean was there for this because I feel like Sean's the sort of wrestling fan who would have absolutely adored being there live for it.
Thank you, Ryan Ammon. It was a normal suplex, not a German suplex. I won't have an error like that besmirch my name. After that, though, just more fantastic stuff. We got this triple threat, the first one for the AEW title. Don't get many triple threats in AEW at all, particularly on pay-per-views. And Omega versus Pac versus Orange Cassidy. This was, and it's difficult because we have had another excellent near five-star triple threat this year with the WrestleMania 37 Night 2 main event, Reigns, Bryan, and Edge. But whereas that had like all the story and the emotion, you know, wrestling-wise, athleticism-wise, it was just very, very good. I thought this was athleticism, wrestling-wise, like just another level, and storytelling, booking angles-wise, right up there. I thought it fired on all cylinders. This was an excellent match.
The reason why I think I would place this above the WrestleMania one, which, by the way, I thought was like five stars and like match of the year contender. The only reason I would place that above this is that I went into that match not really knowing who was going to win in that. I was like, I thought it could be Bryan, very much could be Edge. I don't think it's going to be Roman. So I was like surprised when Roman got the win. Going into this match, I was 100% convinced that Kenny Omega was walking out the champion, but they made me believe that he wasn't. So many times with these near falls and the breakups and everything, I convinced myself at one point, I was like, I think they're going to give Cassidy the belt. I think they're going to go with this on this night. And like, so they worked me so perfectly. Every single second of this match was phenomenal. Pac was amazing. Omega was amazing. Cassidy, you want to talk about a wrestler that was working off the crowd? Holy heck, and this man was working off this crowd. And it was just, it was masterful to see. And the final like 5-10 minutes of this match were just sublime.
Yeah. The bit in particular is this. Just, I guess when in the WrestleMania triple threat, the spot that stands out is the dual submission bit on Roman, and Roman's gently tapping. Here, it was another submission spot. Pac had Cassidy in the Brutalizer. Omega gets in. Oh my God, Cassidy's going to tap. Starts trying to kick Pac off, and Pac's just staring up at him like, F off, mate. No. And Omega's like, what the hell do I do? So he takes out the referee. I have never seen that.
Yeah, it was just brilliant. He just basically looks like, what do I do now? So he just looks at Bryce Remberg and then be like, I'm just going to hit you instead because now you can't get it. Mm. It was like, it's amazing looking back at photos of it and like the videos because the crowd go like, like this whole like breath of in because no one saw that spot coming. The bit that I loved was like, because that was just superb, but I loved the belt collector stuff in all of this, which is just like when Kenny was just fully on top, Cassidy is down, but Pac is the one that's left standing. So Don Callis throws Kenny Omega the AAA Mega Championship, and he wallops Pac with it. He throws the belt down. He's like, give me another. Callis throws him the Impact World title. He hits him with that, throws it down. Hand me another. Throws him the TNA Heavyweight Championship, and he hits him with that. He's like, give me the next one. And Callis gently hands over the most prestigious of all of these, the AEW Championship. And he wallops Pac with it again. And that's where the finish. But that's where you thought the finish is going to come. And Pac kicks out again. And I was like, when is this match going to end? But I never want it to end. It was just awesome.
There was, even after all of that, yeah, the last bit was Cassidy hits the orange punch. Aubrey jumps in to do this fantastic count, like Aubrey the proper like down. 1-2 kick out. That I cannot believe how into the near falls I was here. I agree. I think it's a really interesting comparison with the Mania main event. I didn't believe the near falls to the same extent, or I wasn't invested, but I really was here. And Omega just reversed a beach break or something into a crucifix.
I think it was off the pin, wasn't it? So I think Cassidy got that near fall pin. So Aubrey runs down, and this crowd all thought this is the moment because we've had all of these near falls to lead to this point. This is when Cassidy's going to get the win. Aubrey slides in, gets the count, and Omega kicks out and crucifies him to get him in a crucifix to reverse that pin. And Aubrey counts the three and then celebrates like he's just won the world title to be like, I'm the wrestling genius. I'm the best wrestler on the planet. it was just insanely good. Match of the year. Like, I'll be amazed if there's a match better than this in 2021, because I absolutely adored it.
I wonder if other matches took place in front of similar conditions, if we'd be saying, like, how much that contributed. I would hazard an extra half star, I reckon.
Yeah.
But absolutely fantastic. After that, in like the quickest, pretty big debut ever, Tony Schiavone's suddenly in the ring, and he's like, oh, so Mark Henry's just signed. And Mark Henry walks out. He's like, hey, everybody. Turns around and walks off. He's out there for 20 seconds max. And they're just like, yeah, he's going to be a coach backstage, and he's going to be an announcer on Rampage, the Friday show on TNT or TBS starting later this year.
How quick this was. I went to the loo. I went to the loo at the end of the Omega match. I was like, right, I'm going to quit use this time to go to the loo. I went to the loo. I came back. They were already starting like the preparations for the stadium stampede. I wasn't in there very long. I only had a quick wee. And it was just like, it was blinking, you'll miss it sort of stuff.
Yeah. So Mark Henry, another big name that's just gone from WWE to AEW. Very, very interesting. It's weird how many Big Show, Christian, Mark Henry. Of course, there's the popular thing that if you have a feud with Randy Orton as a legend, you will then immediately go to AEW. After that, we got an announcement for Full Gear happening on Saturday, the 6th of November. I don't know if I'll be able to do that because I'm a groomsman at a wedding, which hopefully goes ahead. But cool for Full Gear in St. Louis. And then the main event was the stadium stampede between Inner Circle and the Pinnacle, which went 30 minutes, and 25 of those minutes were backstage pre-tape bits, which ranged from quite high comedy to blood brawling to cameos with Conan, for instance, being a DJ, which I would say was one of the wackier things that happened. And it was in the FTR bit, which I found tonally odd or misplaced, to very, very almost stupidly staged, contrivedly staged, with Sean Spears sitting in a room full of chairs.
I didn't like it, man. And I so last year I was thinking about this after we finished the stream last night. Last year, Laurie didn't like Stadium Stampede. It just was not for him, but I absolutely loved it. I had a really, really fun time with it. And I was like, you know what? That's exactly what I needed. I really needed that at this point of this early stages of the pandemic. AEW's first show with first pay-per-view without fans. This is what I needed from this, actually. But I don't think I can say the same for Stadium Stampede 2. This isn't what I needed at this point. What I needed was that triple threat that we just got. I wanted like really quality wrestling in front of fans and the fans reacting to it. Because from live reports say, you know, I was talking to Sean about this, the live show, the live reactions loved it. The live crowd were popping massively for everything that happened because they were watching on the screen. So they never felt shortchanged. This is not saying that, oh, they screwed the live fans that were there for it, because those live fans absolutely loved it. But I didn't get to hear that, really. I was hearing the commentary and I was watching them doing a lot of brawling backstage. And I think it was Pete that possibly described it best, was just like the majority of this match felt like the middle third of the Randy Orton Edge match from Mania last year, which was just, you know, throwing each other into various bits and bobs. There's some comedy and stuff. I didn't like it. And I'll be honest, I didn't like it when it got out to the crowd either, because the ending of this match was Jericho and MJF brawl into the crowd, and then it cuts to the ring, and Sean Spears and Sammy Guevara had a very good match, but that was it. And Sammy just won. There was no FTR, there was no Santana and Ortiz, there was no Hager, there was no Wardlow. It was just Sammy and Spears having a TV match, and Sammy won it. I don't think it was particularly good.
And it was long. Well, we must say, we are aware that a lot of people liked it a lot. We are very much in the minority here. It's weird that we all felt the same thing, though. I I get that the reason you close with this, as a lot of people have told me, is so people can sing Judas, and that's how you finish the show.
Makes sense.
But if you zoom out a bit, I just disagree with the way the feud's played out. I disagreed with Blood and Guts coming so early. I disagreed with the feud continuing after Blood and Guts. I disagreed with the way Jericho didn't really sell the finish of Blood and Guts. And I don't think this is good for the pinnacle. And the Inner Circle has come to the end of their life circle as a faction. They will continue. They would have had to break up, which, yeah, I guess you don't want to do on your first show back in front of fans. But then come up with a different finish for another match then.
Well, yeah, and I get the argument. And, you know, I've just seen someone then saying, like, oh, you're missing the point. This is all about making Sammy look like a star. And, like, I get that. And I get that you want to finish the show with Judas, but you don't have to zoom out that far to just see that, like, well, okay, so if your last 30 seconds makes sense, why did the 35 minutes that preceded play out the way that they did? Because those 35 minutes were the boring bits, or the bit that didn't really work for anyone. The finale, Sammy getting the win, totally makes sense because he was the one that surrendered for them at Blood and Guts. That totally works. The crowd singing Judas, that totally works. But you could have structured this in a way that was more like a crowd brawl, there was more interaction with the fans, as opposed to being 30 minutes of pre-taped stuff backstage that we didn't get to see fans react to.
But Brian Alvarez actually loved the match. He didn't start off loving the match. He said that at the start, he thought it was very smartly structured in that it started off like Lockdown, like the cinematic match, and it was kind of a swan song to the cinematic match era, and you got them to come out at the end, and it was like, yeah, now they're here in real life too. Like, you go on that journey. I like that on paper. I don't think it works at the end of a show when you've already had matches in the ring. Like, if that's your idea, you open with that, and you don't have a totally buy-in match.
Yeah, so I completely agree with you.
But I'm aware that we are very much in the minority there. Yes, Sean won. Sammy won. Overall, I would give this... I gave it a 4 out of 5. I loved it, loved it, loved it, loved this pay-per-view. But the Cody and the Stadium Stampede, for me, means it isn't perfect.
Yeah, I was just getting up the poll there because I was thinking about this a lot today. And I initially thought 4 out of 5 as well. But then I was like, do you know what? I love that triple threat so much. And like the chat that we had earlier that said the negatives don't outweigh the positives vastly outweigh the negatives in all of this. So I am just totally on board. And I think I would go 5 out of 5. And the poll that we had on our community tab, 55% gave it a 5 out of 5.
Wow, 28%, huge.
28%, 4 out of 5. So that's like nearly 80% of the vote there is 5 and 4 out of 5. And then 10% for 3 out of 5, 1% for 2 out of 5, 5% for 1 out of 5. So this was just like heavily weighted into the 5 out of 5 thing. People loved it.
And I'm not against that. I'm glad everyone thinks it's a 5 out of 5 show.
Yeah.
Awesome. Let's get into the rest of your hyper chats. Last call, get them into wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them before the end of the show, and we're going to try and do it in 5.5 minutes. That's not going to happen. E-Shake. It's weird with Cody because ever since he smashed the throne at the first Double or Nothing, I feel like he has always been hated online, but whenever his music hits, he always gets a huge pop. Last night doesn't change my perception of him. I didn't care about the feud. Nate S. I was Team Agogo. He looked fantastic, especially for not having many matches, but it's Florida, it was Memorial Day, and they had the military remembrance package played just before the match. Cody wasn't going to lose. They wanted to keep the fans hot. Mm-hmm. Tyler Woodward. Homelander is a prick. So is Cody. He used a vertebraker to win, not even his finish. Is Agogo not worthy enough to take the crossroads? If Agogo won, it would have been a 5 out of 5. Watch the end of your stream because I was doing my own, which no one watched. Ah, oh, Tyler. Eternal Blue. As an American who agrees with the consensus of people here, Cody was way off base. But I felt but I bet he felt very confident this was a good idea. He's a half Cuban, Floridan, American. All three of those things combined together make for right-wing bingo.
I believe it's also pronounced Floridian.
Floridian man, I
may have made that up, but yeah, like, it's just, you know, we could keep saying as well that we think that Cody was off base, but that crowd lapped it up.
Floridan. Charles Berg. Cody forgot to mention his focus group was exclusively 75-year-old white Trump supporters. Cody just slaps some flex tape on racism. He comes off as tone deaf. Wrestling Secrets Exposed also taught me that Miro threw a stunt snake at Mega Man's face. Leon Quashy. Omega getting Orange Cassidy, of all people, with a trick pin. Love that. Love that. Omega Cassidy soon. Also, F you Don, F you Kenny, F you Young Bucks. I have been thoroughly worked. Anthony Velasquez. Really good show last night. I will agree with the fact that the Stadium Stampede shouldn't have main evented the show. I personally didn't hate the match, but I didn't think it was main event worthy either. And they continue, I had predicted a go-go to win the match, but as an American, I should have known that Cody was going to win definitely on Memorial Day of all days. Also, I do think Cody should turn heel soon.
Mm-hmm.
Bacon Rasher. Hi, lads. Great 5 out of 5 show for me. An example, WWE Triple Threat. It's clear who's there to take the pin. Pac or Orange, I honestly didn't know. You could tell the wrestlers love the crowd being back. What a triple threat. 100% one of my favorites. Jam that jam. Harry and Riddler. Great pay-per-view. Only match I didn't like was the Cody one, and more from the booking than the wrestling. So many standout matches, and while I didn't enjoy the Stadium Stampede as much as the majority, I seem to enjoy it more than you guys. Los Intangibles, the Wrestle Talk for life. We didn't say they did win.
Yeah, Tempest was in the chat earlier to brag about that. I did spot him. I didn't give him the time of day.
So they will be facing Laurie Blake for the championship in a 3-way at Jelly in a Celly. The Portuguese Mr. Davis. Hey, boys, a Macchiato. What did you think of my Macchiato?
Oh, beautiful. Absolute. Because you didn't send me anything. Like, in the lead up to it, I didn't see it in bits. I didn't see it in bobs. I just saw it as the final product. And I thought it was brilliant, man. I thought, well done, you.
Sexy. I'm surprised how sexy I looked. What an awesome show. Great use of string. Sting. Sorry. I was confused. I was like, what? Where was the string?
That was the abseiling bit that the inner circle did at the Star Stadium Stampede.
Daft. Awesome triple threat. However, the Cody stuff was awful. Stampede was meh. I say this because I think they should have started with this match and the blood and guts be the next storyline wise. Overall, 4 out of 5. Nate S. Amazing show and experience. Nate would have been there. He's our man on the ground. The best part of the show for me was just being a part of the crowd. So many goosebumps and choking back tears moments just because of the crowd. I hope we came across as well on TV because it was deafening at times. You certainly did.
Oh, blew us away.
Nate S. continues, I couldn't believe that Orange Cassidy was that over. Didn't think he should be in the title picture, but the crowd and his performance proved me wrong. Speaking of over, Jungle Boy, Dr. Britt, Max Caster, Darby, Sammy, Hangman, Mox and Eddie all got huge pops. Mostly baby faces there, which is nice.
Yeah.
Mohammed Al-Sad. The tag match was very enjoyable, and I like the Young Bucks, but it was a tornado handicap for much of the match. I know they're heels and all that, but what is the referee's job, lol?
Yeah, I mean, it's an excellent point. That referee did a bad, bad job. Do you want me to hot tag, and so you can take a bit
go
of a breather?
Go for it, there. Yes.
Brian Murphy says, Adam Page and Brian Cage took to the stage to wage war and get the crowd engaged. Adam Page is all the rage to the fans, no matter their age. And now they also love Brian Cage because he told Team Taz to disengage. P.S. Ollie, Season 7 of Brooklyn Nine-Nine was trash.
No, it wasn't.
I thought it was great.
It was awesome. It was really good.
Gabriel Caruso, did Nick Jackson grow out his beard because he's no longer a babyface? 100% he did. James Hanley, hey guys, I just want to say that Britt's win was what I wanted to see since she turned heel, but I'm so happy that she'd got to have one match as champion in front of fans. She did do an amazing job as champ, even when the division was down to just 4 people. Big Eye Cotillez, the triple threat match was amazing. While I get the ending, the camera work didn't really capture what happened that well. Had several people ask me what happened because I had four friends over. Other than the fantastic finish, I wanted OC to win so badly. Primetime Flea Gunner says, Luke is the reason why casual fans hate wrestling. How can wrestling fans hate this when the crowd even... How can wrestling fans hate this when the crowd, even before they opened up, were behind this feud? They even loved the whole match and went crazy with the finish. It's delusional to hate what's over. Dude, I literally said that it was over with the crowd. Like, I'm not blind to that. I totally get that it was over with the crowd. Jamie Villegas, also, that was not a crowd of casual fans. Jamie Villegas, Impact Wrestling storyline-wise, Sami Callihan should have been the Joker to go on and win the Battle Royal. Yeah, would have been nice to have Chris Bay or James Storm. Doesn't take away from how excited I was to see Leo Rush. Brandon Harris said, I think you'll find that Scorpius guy grabbed the brass ring. Kingston wasn't even in that match, mate. Good pay-per-view. Too many interference distraction spots for my liking. Also, not sure how I feel about Shida's marathon title range ending via tap outs.
The goal was to get over Baker.
Yeah. Alabagaloo, loved the three-way, good mix of in-ring wrestling and storytelling. Can't wait to see Jungle Boy versus Kenny Omega, and hopefully we get Kenny Omega versus Luchasaurus. What do you guys think of Omega? Who do you think Omega will face at All Out? My money is on Christian Cage. Yes, please.
I think they might pull the trigger on Paige by then.
I think they might do. Yeah, I think they will do. And Nemo Toad, I think the crowd pushes Double or Nothing just ahead of Full Gear for AEW's best pay-per-view. Also, Shida's run is tailor-made for fans to look back on a few years down the line as underrated. I liked the Thank You Shida chant too.
I don't think it will be, unfortunately, because she never had a proper feud.
Chris Petro, what's next? Nick Jackson does a Hollywood Hogan dye black beard next. Heel bucks are fun. Love you guys. Thank you as always. RP Degnan said, it's almost fun at this point. Darby doing crazy stuff doesn't even get mentioned anymore. Was legit scared for him in that 6-year-old sting, particularly when Ethan Page launched him into the crowd from that gorilla press. We didn't even talk about that.
That was such a good spot.
Spike Dudley'd him like from the ring just into the crowd. It was absolutely nuts.
Bacon Rasher. Hi, Luke and Ollie. Oliver, Mr. Davis, or whatever. It's Ollie Kawaii now. With Jungle Boy and Mox having mainstream music, what song would you put with who? We get this question all the time now. I would like to see Best Friends come out to It Must Be Love by Madness. P.S. All that triple threat. Wow. Us Intangibles wrestled. Blah, 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 blah.
Someone had the best version of this last night when we had this question, which is that Chris Statlander should come out to Intergalactic by the Beast. I've not heard a better suggestion than that.
DJ Mayer, I would really love to see Kingston be the one to eventually beat Miro for the TNT title. I cannot just imagine how crazy the crowd would go. I have not thought about that. That would be good. Paul Kerr, Serena Deeb is one of the top 10 wrestlers in the world. It's a travesty that the wrestling world, including myself, has only learned this over the past year. I don't know if I put her in top 10, but yeah, she's incredibly good. Andrew the Last Airbender, not Double or Nothing related, but I effing love Luchasaurus, so much so that I, as a 25-year-old, bought his action figure. Think he'll ever be world champ. Also, Ollie, any good history podcasts you recommend? Thanks so much, guys. We all appreciate you. Just the hardcore histories. I haven't really been listening to podcasts in lockdown.
As to whether Luchasaurus will be champion, I don't think so. Not world champion.
Tag champ, maybe. Hannah Allen, message of support. Please don't ever feel like you need to cater or alter your reviews, comments in fear of fan backlash. I think I speak for most of the nation. We watch and support for our love of you lot and the content. It sucks people neg on any of you. It comes with the territory. Hannah Allen again. I feel for Pete. People just critique his critique, but his job is his opinion, and that's why we watch. Shrug. The fans that attack you aren't representative of all of us, just a small few. The nation loves and supports each of you. Feel good air hugs for all. Ah, oh, thank you, Hannah.
Thank you.
Rene36. Hi, guys. I was wondering, when do you think you can head back to your office? Your current reactions are awesome, but there's a different feel when you guys are together and are having a great time watching wrestling. Same thing goes with your review shows. Well, June is the plan, late June, when it's... But that's when the government opens stuff up here. But they pushed that back a few times before. So we're not getting our hopes up.
I had my first vaccination on Saturday as well. And I had a dead arm. And that was about it. That was the only side effect that I got, was my arm was a bit sore the following day.
Where are we? Bishop Badass. 15 years ago today, Shawn Michaels hit the biggest super kick in the world on Shelton Benjamin. Just want to get y'all's thoughts on what you think when you see that. Love you guys for all you do and keep it up. Jam that jam. F the intangibles.
I wasn't watching. I didn't see it live. I only saw it in like recaps after the fact.
Slow key. Hi guys, this is my first time watching these podcasts live, and I just wanted to say thank you for keeping me company during Double or Nothing. I don't have any wrestling friends, sadly, so it's nice when I can react and watch with people. Jam that jam. We're your friends, Slow Key.
Indeed. I'll hot tag for these last few. Anonymous said, hee hee, 69. But for real, Double or Nothing was my second favorite pay-per-view of the year. It wasn't a match on the card that I didn't enjoy. Favorite was either Kenny versus Pat Cassidy or The Stampede or Britt versus Shida. Also, Luke, you don't use dark mode on Twitter, you weirdo. Like, I didn't know there was a dark mode on Twitter. And if there is, I don't know where it is. And I've never thought to ever change it. Rangers Mayhem, I gave the show 4.5 stars. I disliked the Cody match and Stampede did not live up to the original. The ending of the match seemed super rushed. Would have been better with Inner Circle surrounding Spears, hit the Judas elbow, and Sammy hit the 630 as the exclamation. Nate S., who was thrown further, the Snake Miro through or Darby into the crowd?
Darby?
Darby.
That's mad.
Bacon Rasher, final Omega chat, just to say some of us in the UK are not working today. We're in beer gardens enjoying the sunshine, so fair play for working today, lads. Enjoy Raw tonight. Thanks for watching so we don't have to. Love to the Swaff Nation. I'm not watching the show because I'm off tomorrow. Yes.
Oh, they're particularly punishing after watching good wrestling.
HCBs, but you'll do it with Sean. Yeah, so if you haven't seen the announcement on our Twitter page, it's going to be Ollie and Sean tomorrow, SRS from Fightful, doing the Raw review. And although I'm off, I cannot wait to listen to the podcast. HCB said, me before the triple threat, there's no way I'll believe Cassidy will win at any point after the triple threat. Hands on my head, mouth open, thinking Cassidy had just won. Great show. But I feel the commentary let down the TNT title match with no passion.
There wasn't much story to get into. I liked it. I, you know, specifically the work they did about talking about Lance's back. But I could, yeah, maybe.
CJ Lilly, hi guys. Did you see the disgusting links people are making between the pig in the main event and Larry Steeves, Jess? Because Alexa is a WWE star with a different pet. Sometimes I'm embarrassed by the fandom, like last night, hate the war. Was there a pig in the main event last night?
I think when they went into the freezer section.
Right,
you know, when they had the sort of Rocky fight, there was an animal split
talking about the Rocky thing. CJ, if you go looking for that sort of thing, CJ, you're bound to find anyone saying that sort of thing. And Jay Gupta said, just here to say thanks for the stream and the podcast. Love you guys. Jam that jam. That is all of our chats.
Thank you, everybody who joined us last night and for watching us here today. If you haven't already, subscribe to the WrestleTalk podcast channel. This is a different channel to the main WrestleTalk channel. You need to subscribe to this one too and enable notifications to always on.
It is 17 people away from 47,000.
Come on, 17 people. Do it now.
Come on, do it now.
I'm waiting.
We've got like there's a 30-second delay. It's actually two people subscribing in the sort of the delay. So
Come on.
We're nearly there. 15 people to go.
Come on. If you're not subscribed already, there's 1,933 of you right now. Surely 15 of you can subscribe.
46,990. 10 more to go.
Come on. We can do this.
Come on. Come on. I'm refreshing. I'm hitting the refresh button. I'm hitting the refresh button. Just five more people to go.
Come on, people.
Come on. Come on, people.
Dressed up as Mackie Ito for you today.
Just do it. Look at the Rob Tree. Just do it. Chocobo Sage, I can unsubscribe and subscribe again. That won't help us.
It doesn't work that way. Come on.
There it is. 47,003 people. Thank you all
you
so
guys
much.
Are the best. Now, it is a very hot bank holiday Monday here in the UK. The sun is ablaze, and I'm about to draw my curtains, order a Domino's, and watch Army of the Dead. I bid you adieu. Jam that jam,
everyone. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.